family. This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. You're listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. This is a live call-in talk show, so if you want to call in and talk to me, have a question or comment, you can call in at 646-716-7572. I'll be here until 6 o'clock this evening on Pacific Standard Time, so call me. Today we're going to be talking about the thing that I always talk about is homeschooling, and I got some topics that I want to talk to you about that is really pressing right now, and some things that people are sending me, and I want to thank you all for sending me information on my Facebook page, on the Education of the Miseducated Facebook page, the Village Facebook page, and then just the things that you're just sending me, the calls that I'm getting. But I want to thank you all for that because it keeps me abreast of what's going on in other parts of the country. I'm out here on the West Coast, but it's good to know that there's things that are happening on the East Coast and also in the Central area. Things that I got today is from the Atlanta Voice. And I guess Atlanta Voice is a newspaper out of Atlanta, Georgia. And this was posted back in 2013. Okay, so this is an old article, but it's relevant for us today. So I want to talk to you about it. It says more than 100,000 African American parents are now homeschooling, which is phenomenal. Okay, when we see stuff like that, that is very phenomenal to see things that are happening in our communities. So basically, how we always talk about the educational gap, the racial gap in schools, how our children are functioning far below other children in academics. But this article goes on to say that when our children are homeschooled, that gap is closed. There's no longer a 30-40 gap in our children's education. But it goes on to say that although we hear about the gaps and how our children are not achieving, we seldomly hear about how our children are excelling, except for when you wonderful people put it on Facebook page and you share with us of our geniuses that are out there, our children who are achieving great things. But here in homeschool, we got this was back in 2013, so I know we probably have more students now that are, and these are the ones that are reported. I know we have probably more students now that are being homeschooled, but we don't hear about the homeschoolers are scoring at 82% in the reading and 77% in math over the nation. So when we talk about the gaps, the gaps are closing when it comes to homeschooling, but as long as our children are still in the public school, we're dealt with that racial gap. Okay, and we already know that our children will be, they can't be segregated according to their race, but we know that our children are segregated according to academic achievement. And a lot of our children are going into special ed because they can't function in the school, which is actually what they're saying. Some of them, they feel like are disruptive and the whole bit. But I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because when you're having your children in a private, you have your children in a public school, most of the school day, if you've really ever gone up to the school, is dealt with disciplining the students in the classroom. Okay, sit down, turn your chair around, stop talking, the whole bit. I mean, the teacher can barely teach the subject that she's trying to teach, and now that we have this Common Core thing going on, I mean, she's trying to figure it out while she's trying to teach her children. And then they're sending homework home to you as a parent, and you have no clue of what's going on as far as the Common Core is going on. So we need to look into this. And I know that we have just a few more months left of school. There's we're in the month of March already. This is March 3rd. And so we have the month of March, April, and May. We have 3 more months. So what are we going to do? And I think I talked to you guys last time that this is the time that you need to really make that appointment, go up to the school, make an appointment with the school teacher, and sit and talk to them, him or her, about your child's achievement. Don't wait till open house night or back to school night or parent-teacher conference night, because you're not going to get everything that you need. You're going to be asked to come back and make an appointment anyway, because they're only allowed to talk to you for so many minutes. And there's only certain things that they can talk to you about at that meeting, because they have a whole bunch of parents that they have to meet. So my request for you is that you contact the school, make an appointment with the teacher, or most of the teachers will give you their email address or whatever, call, text, whatever you need to do, email the teacher to set up an appointment. And just let them know that, you want to go over your child's academic progress. Where are they at? What do they need to do? You want to see a portfolio. You want to see some of your child's work. You want to view their desk, what their desk looks like. Because it's important that if your child has a messy desk and things are all over the place and things are not in order, then they're not going to be able to get done that they need to have done. Okay? So, basically, those are the things that I want to talk to you about as far as homeschooling our children and why we need to homeschool our children. We need to homeschool our children because we are their first teachers, and we know what it takes to motivate that child. And I do want to share with you some of the things that this article addresses, and I'm going to share with you some of the comments that were made. And because when I'm looking at things online, I like to look at some of the comments that are being made when you have articles like, and let me see. Yeah, these articles were done, like I said, a couple of years ago, but they're relevant to us today. One lady, she said, if I could have my way, all my grandchildren would be homeschooled. But since I can't have my way, they will be educated at Afrocentric school, which is a wonderful thing. And this is another opportunity for us to do something. If, you cannot take off of work, or there's a single parent and you have to work, seek out Afrocentric schools in your community. And I'm going to go ahead and give you a website a little bit later on, sharing with some of the things, groups that you could look at. You need to take some time to go online, maybe even get a cup of coffee, whatever you want, a glass of wine, sit at your laptop, children are in the bed, and you're sitting there, and this is your time to look, because you're really seriously considering removing them from the public school system. Let's go ahead. There's another one said, this is something to think about. And I'm gonna read to you this article. It says, it says here in this article that there are so many benefits to homeschooling beyond academics. Most schools spend more than 33% of the time like I said, disciplining the students, and this becomes a significant issue. One out of every 6 black males is suspended, and large numbers are given Ritalin and placed in special education. Okay? Another major benefit is the summer months. Research shows that there is a 3-year gap between white and black students that are involved in any academic endeavor during the summer. So, because I know in my area where I live, we've cut out summer school except for migrant children. And migrant children are children of those Mexican families that come over to work in our fields. They bring their children over, and the next time they have to go and work in the field, they may be here in Hanford. Next time they may be in Bakersfield. Next time they may be in Ventura County. So their family moves around. So that's what I call them, migrant families, because they move around. So we do have summer school for those families. And I tell you what, this is really crazy because I have a friend who is a teacher, And she's worked, she was able to work this last year at the migrant program. She didn't work for our summer school because she made a heck of a lot more money. I mean, a lot more money working at a migrant program that lasted a week. Okay? I tell you, man, we have our priorities. A lot of times our academic people, the people who run these schools and these programs, the priorities are not there for our children. So we need to do something ourselves. So it's saying that when your child is involved in a summer program, that gap is closing, okay? And they say, and many are teaching, it says, finally, in the homeschool environment, parents are allowed to teach their children values. You can based upon your morals and your principles. And many are teaching their children with the Afrocentric curriculum, SETCLAE, S-E-T-C-L-A-E. Now, I was going to go to that, but it's right here. So you might want to go online and type in capital letters, S as in Sam, E as in Earl, T as in Tom, C as in Charlie, L as in Larry, A as in Apple, E as in Earl. This is SETCLAE. And these children are being taught about how to discover America. They're talking about who Hippocrates was not the father. Medicine, we're talking about plantation works, and they're talking about the pyramids. So they're taking their children all the way back. And as a matter of fact, it is a nice curriculum to have, and I'm going to basically order that curriculum for my genius school. Until public schools give more love, higher education, better classroom management, greater time, we can expect to continue to see an increase in African-American parents homeschooling. So this is what they're saying. And this lady who made this comment, she says, it's something to think about. And then we had another one that says, need to find out more about SETCLAE. And then we have the brother who does this. And I'm going to post this on my Facebook page, his page, the AfricanAmericanImages.com. And he gives a link also on this site, the SETCLAE. And then another one talked about sounds more than overdue. And this other lady, she said, I homeschooled mine when we lived in Dade County, Florida. They did good. We're ahead when I re-enrolled them in school. So basically what I'm saying here is that this lady is saying that they did good, but my question is, why did she re-enroll them in a public school? And it could be many different reasons. But what I want to say, that if you ever decide to homeschool your children, even at their young age, and things happen in families, people go through things and they have to enroll them in the public school, your children are going to be far advanced, especially if you're doing what you're supposed to do as a parent. But I'm saying that once you re-enroll them in that public school, you got to be on top of it, family. You have to be on top of it, because your child will now become dumbed down, especially with this Common Core, okay? You got to, man, know what's going on. I had a meeting the other evening, NAACP meeting, and that's one of the things that we were talking about, the education system in our community, and one of the big things was Common Core, and it was brought up that a gentleman who has a son in the after-school program in our community. He was a graduate of West Point, and I think his son is in second grade or something like that. He could not even help him with that homework. Come on now. So we need to think about that. And I do want to send you to this site. It's a YouTube video, and I sent it out before last year, and it's called the Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, Beck Program, Common Core in Education. And it's about a 45-minute video, and you might want to look at that and see what's going on. Okay. I'm going to be looking at this other video. It's a 9-minute video, and it's called Did Bill Gates Admit the Real Purpose of Common Core? Because Bill Gates is behind this. Okay. So let's educate ourselves about what's going on in our school. Let's look at these next 3 months Let's call out teachers if our children are in public school and make that commitment to make an appointment. Let's do it. Let's not say, you know, we need to. No, do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Because that's basically the only way it's going to get done. If we continue to say, we need to do this, we need to do this, that kind of giving us an out, waiting for somebody else to do it. So I'm asking you just to be a part of that and do it. Okay. I have another topic that I want to talk to you about. And last night in the big city of Fresno, California, I found out that Mr. Jeremiah Wright, our president's former pastor, was in town at our California State University at Fresno. And he was with the Black Student Union. That's what I call them. They have another name they call themselves. But he was a guest speaker at this conference, at this school site. And I didn't know anything about it until afterwards. And when I found out about it, I went online. And our Fresno Bee, which is our Fresno newspaper, had already put it in like 2 hours after the event was over with. So I began reading some of the things that he was talking about. And basically, he was talking about some of the comments that he made when President Obama was, you know, running for office. He talked about the chickens that come home to roost after dealing with the 9/11 because of the people that we bombed in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so he talked about those things, but mainly he talked about his life growing up during the civil rights movement and a lot of the stuff that was going on during that time and how he didn't know segregation until he moved. So his family took him to the South to visit other family members. Now, in dealing with this article, once again, I like to read the comments. So I went down and I began reading the comments. And, I mean, you had some haters. There were two haters. I mean, there was only two comments, and they were straightly hate. This man hasn't spoken to us, like, for at least 2 hours. I mean, 2 hours ago he's speaking. They already got their comments. Oh, let the prime minister of Israel invite him to come speak. I don't have a problem with that. If that's something you want to do. And then you had this one spewing out ignorance about, you know, this man's message is nothing about the cross. He has a social message, and it is invalid. It is nothing without the cross of Christ. And so, you know, they just started bashing on this man. And I'm like, you know what? I got to make a comment. And I told him, I said, you know, you guys, you need to stop hating. I called them by their names. I said, you need to stop hating. I said, because every time us Black people try to make a take a step forward, you guys just seem like you want to just stomp on our feet, okay, to stop us from making that. I said, this is the same thing that Mr. Wright was talking about, your stupidity and your ignorance. I mean, if you call yourself a Christian, I mean, you know, why would you be spewing out information like that? So my whole thing was, I was glad to see that Mr. Jeremiah Wright, I had some comments, people called me, I had a friend that called me and told me that, you know, he was really good. But the whole thing about it is that when we see comments, if we go online and look at our newspapers or whatever, if we see stuff, we need to comment on that. We need to bash that stuff up. We need to. Bash it up. Don't allow it to permeate through the rest of the community. Call it what it is and let the people know that this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. And it isn't acceptable. We have to be able to allow our teachers and our leaders and whoever we want to call in to come talk to our people and encourage our people. We have to allow that and not have other people just come along and just acting crazy with it. All right, so my thing to you is that when you see articles in the newspaper or even on Facebook that people are bashing other people that are of importance to us and that can help us along our journey, watch that mess. Thank you. There's a radio, there's a site that I go on and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. It's called Black Business Network, and it's a free membership. And I'm going to go right there right now. And what this program does, and it costs, the membership is free, but if you want to market, if you want to be a marketer, or if you want to have inventory, if you have inventory, they will sell your inventory to you. And they sell it to black people, so it's black people buying black. And it says, are you a black-owned business that creates and produces your own high-quality product or service? Do you own all legal rights to the product? Do you have an amazing product that the black community needs and wants? If so, join our supplier, and we will market, sell, and ship them for you, generating you income. Now, this is not a commercial for, don't get it, this is not a commercial for Black Business Network. I go there, but what I'm talking to you about is that at Black Business Network, they have what they call, when you go online, you could just become a member. It's free to get a member, but they have these videos. They have these live broadcasts, and most of the broadcasts are on Saturday, or if you want to go into their archives, you could pull up an archive. Now, I watched the video one time. Let me go ahead and turn this off here. I watched the video one time, and let me see the Sheikha Kua. He has his own broadcasting show on here. So I watched one of his videos, and it had to do with how to be a high-paid speaker and author. Now, I would love to be a speaker and go around making a lot of money. But some of the things that he put out there just allowed me to understand the role of what I'm setting up a booth somewhere, what I'm doing something in the community. He put some basic things out there that we can learn. So I'm inviting you to, as a family, to go on Black Business Network, become a member. Like I said, it's really, really inexpensive. You can register for these videos off their live videos. They will call you and remind you that you registered and what time they'll be on. That day they'll remind you a couple hours before it's going to be on. And you can sit in the comfort of your home and watch these and get some knowledge, knowledge that you could share with your family, that you could share with your children. I mean, when I watch this video helps me to know that working with young people, that how I can help my young people to promote, produce, when they're out performing. Like, we have some students who plays the vibes. And she's good at it. You know, my genius school, and she's also with the Black Student Union, and she's good at it. So when she's out performing and she's doing whatever she's doing, my whole thing is, if you're singing whatever, get some CDs there. Have them available, okay, because for $5, if you got 25 people buying your CDs at $5, you don't walk away with some money, okay? But if they just come up to you and say, oh, that was so wonderful, do you have a CD? No. Then you don't lost that sale, and who knows when you'll ever see that person again. Okay, so that's what you have to do. I mean, these are some of the things that he talks about, having your stuff out there and not giving your stuff away, not giving your information away. A lot of times we work really hard for our information, and it's not about just giving it away. Now, here with the Dynasty Network and the Education of the Miseducated System, I do give my information away because I had promised myself that when I started homeschooling that I will give this information to anybody who wanted to homeschool their children. But I'm also available to come in and bring handouts and do workshops. Okay, I'm also available for that. But right now where I'm at, I'm giving you the information because it's important to me that your children learn, especially after I'm looking and seeing the things that are going on in our school system. Man, my heart breaks sometimes. Okay, so I want to make sure that you're getting the information that you need. And don't forget that when you see stupidity running across the written pages or even the online, comment on it, make a comment, squash it. All right. I want to share with you also some of the things that I've been doing in the community. And I know I'm just going on and on and on. There's a lot of things that I've been involved in. And last week I wasn't on the line because I was out of town. But these are the things that I want to talk to you about. We had our Real Life Youth Conference on February 7th. And, I mean, that was one of the best conferences that we had. And we had our MC, Master of Ceremony, Ken McCoy. He's a photographer. He's a publisher. He's a radio personality. He did our MC. He was wonderful. His sister, Deborah McCoy, she was our keynote speaker. Man. But I tell you, he invited our young people because every year, this is his eighth year that he's done a red carpet event, and it usually runs right after the red carpet event that we see on TV with the Oscars. So he does a red carpet event for our young kids. So he offered to purchase, if we buy so many tickets, he would give us, you know, half of that free. So if I bought two tickets, he would give me two tickets. And so I went to our Black Student Union meeting, and I said, okay, guys, this is what's going on. The red carpet event is coming up, and I have room for three of you guys in my car. And I had a young man come up to me. I said, the first come, first serve. This young man came up to me. He was at our youth conference, and he said, he just came up close to me. He said, I want to be the first one to put my name on the list, put me on the list. I want to go. And I'm like, great. So it came time to get ready for the event. So I called him. I said, we need another person to go with you. I said, is your girlfriend going to go? He says, no. But my friend, another guy, Joey, these are high school students, brothers, high school students that were willing to go with me and my friend, Carolyn, two old ladies in our 50s, but not really old, but go and take these young people to this event. I mean, it was a red carpet. They took videos. They took pictures. They took selfies. They walked the red carpet, was trained on how to walk the red carpet, and they had the photographers there taking the pictures. I mean, photographers. And man, it was really, really neat. One of our guys who was really shy, and but he came out of that shyness. They were able to go get some something to eat, and then they watched the movie, and then they gave away prizes. So I was so happy that they were able to be a part of that. And this is something that we as a community, we have to do. We have to make sure our children are being exposed. Some of them will never be exposed to that. The week before, we took a group of young people to our Clovis, North and Clovis, California. This is right by Fresno. They had an African-American student leadership conference, and they had all of the schools in Fresno County School District of Fresno County and surrounding areas, moved from Hanford, come, and these were all African-American students. And my students that were with us said, wow, why can't we have this at our school? And I said, what do you mean? They said, the diversity of the black people. Look at all the different colors. Look at all the different freshmen. Look at all these different people. I mean, they were just so in awe that there were other black people that were believing that were coming to the events that they were coming to. And, you know, and I understood her thought because I'm going to regress back to the 80s when I became, quote, and unquote, a Christian and was able to go to my first youth conference. I sat there and I looked at all of these young people. I was in my 20s at the time. I looked at all these young people. I said, wow, all of these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Wow, I was just so amazed that there were so many people that were on the same page that I was on. So I understood where she was coming from. Okay, like I said, when I was a Christian. But anyway, we have to expose our young people to opportunities like that. You know, real life youth conferences, red carpet affairs, videos. Just a few weeks ago, Saturday before, we went to Fresno. I've been running around doing a lot of things, and there was a showing of Hidden Colors 3. So for the whole month of the Black History Month, these people have been in Fresno. They've been showing Hidden Colors 1 weekend, Hidden Colors 2, Hidden Colors 3. Now, I've seen Hidden Colors 3. I have Hidden Colors 3. Thank you. But I went because I wanted to see how they did their viewing. And I'm telling you, what, that place was just almost packed. It was a small place on the side of a church building. They had a little room, and the room was decorated. It's just like you walk in, that's their Afrocentric room. This is what we believe. This is what we do. And they had posters on the wall. I mean, it was out, books, everything. But they showed the film, and then they had discussion. So these are the things that we have to do. As a matter of fact, I met I walked in to Smart and Final about a month ago, and a young man, I see him all the time. He works today. He said, Namaste. I'm like, oh, hey. I walked down to you, and I said, did he say what I thought he said? And so when he came around, I said, did you say what I thought you said? He said, yeah, Namaste, Hidden Color, it's great. And I'm like, whoa. So I began talking to him. And his cousin, his brother, somebody came from back east, back here to California, and brought those videos with him. And now he's showing it to other young men in the community. This is what we need to do. This is exactly what we need to do to bring our young people together. I just moved into a bigger place, and, you know, my living room is huge. And I said, you know, I'm debating whether I should buy a couch or what. I'm like, I'm not getting a couch in here. This is about business. So I have my little chairs and stuff. I went to, on the way back from Fresno the other day, I stopped at the Restore, you know, Habitat for Humanity. And they had this round table. I had been wanting a round table. And then I found these four, ottomans, storage ottomans to go underneath the table. Nice. So when I'm having people over, this is a place to have a meeting. This is a place to watch a video, pull up the chairs, pull up the ottomans, and just have a good time. You know what I'm saying? So these are the things. We have to be able to pull our young people together. And right now what I'm doing is I'm looking for a way to bring our young people together cohesively before the summer gets here. Because we need to keep a hold on, need to keep our hands around them. Because the summer comes and we don't see them. I want to see these young people. So I'm developing a program for our children to come together, a summer program where they'll be able to work and they'll be able to get some academics, get some help, and get some college application, get these college letters written out, start preparing them for their next school year. So that's what we're working on. So those are some of the things that I'm doing for our community. So if you have any questions for me, like I want to tell you that this is a live call-in talk show. You're listening to the Education of the Miseducated System. This is Paula Massey. And if you want to talk to me, you can call 646-716-7572. Press the number 1 and we'll put you in queue. Okay. Ooh, that was a long thing for me. Just sharing you what I'm keeping busy. I'm keeping busy in my community. So let me tell you a little bit more about what's going on. Let's get back to homeschooling. Because that's what it is about, homeschooling. Last year, I brought to you some homeschool conventions that you may be interested in attending as a family. If you're not really sure that this is something that you want to do, you might want to go to this site. It's called greathomeschoolconventions.com/. You'll put your state in there. And it'll / again, and I'll also put that on my Facebook page, Education of the Miseducated System. In the homeschool, it's called Great Homeschool Convention. You're going to see a list of events all over. And I put it for California, man. I'm still scrolling. You know how that little scroll button on the side, you know, if it's big, if it's long, you don't have many, but if it's small, you have a whole lot. And I mean, it's like small, and there's so many. But I do want to let you know that a lot of these homeschool conventions that you're going to be going to, they're holistic. A lot of them are Christian-oriented. But I don't want that to scare you away, because you know who you are. You know what you know, okay? Not what you believe. You know what you know. But you're going to get the information. And a lot of these organizations have been around for years. And I'll tell you why they've been around for years. A lot of them have been around since the time of when the schools were being integrated, because they didn't want their students to be taught by black people So they pulled out and they started their own organization. They started their own, they said, we're going to homeschool our own children. We're going to start our own private schools. Then they didn't want the government and their private schools. They decided to go ahead and do their homeschooling. So these organizations have been around a long, long time. So I want you, I don't want you to be, think twice. I don't want you to think twice about, you know, not going, okay, because it is Christian-oriented. I want you to be a, I want you to be a part, and I want you to be able to go with confidence, okay? So, I mean, I just typed in Arkansas. I mean, they have quite a few. All of these, man, all of these are a lot of different homeschools, you know, for Texarkana, Independence County, Jonesboro, Arkansas, Hot Springs, Little Rock, Arkansas, so Northwest Arkansas, Clark County, Siloam Springs, White County, Conway, Arkansas, Sherwood, Arkansas. So you have a lot of things that you need to go through. So I'm going to put that on there. So if you need to go to a convention, I'm going to tell you what you're going to get at these conventions, okay? When you go to these conventions, what you're going to do is you're going to get all kind of resources, okay? You'll probably go in and you'll get a bag with information. And then you'll probably go to all these different tables. You'll see all these different vendors. And so you're going to go to these vendors and they'll have information about curriculum, and you'll see other families that look like you, and be sure to speak to those families, see how they're doing. How long they've been homeschooling. They may be Christian-based. They may not. They may just be there just like you, wondering what's going on, okay? So you want to, you know, you're going to see all that. And a lot of these are going to have conference speakers. They're going to have sections for your children to be in if you want them to be a part of that. But remember what I said, when you go to a Christian-based convention, know that you're going to get some Christian teaching. Now, you may not want your children to be in that environment, but it's okay to have them with you if they can sit quietly, or if it's something that you want somebody at home to take care of them and you go away. And a lot of times these conventions, they may last 2 days. It may be a Friday and Saturday, okay? So, and it may be away from your home. So this is a good vacation weekend to take with your children, pulling them out of school if they're in public school or whatever, and you're going there with them, gas at the car. So a lot of times when you go on here, you'll find the date that they have them. Go ahead and save up the money, gas the car up or whatever you have to do in order to be where you need to be. Fill up your ice chest, pack your food if you don't have enough. I know sometimes we don't have the money to buy all kind of stuff. We don't have that kind of money, but the food and stuff that's going to be there. But just go ahead on and pack up your stuff. There's no shame in your game. You know what you need to do. Okay, so that's one thing I want to talk to you about, the greathomeschoolconvention.com/your state/. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is homeschool days at the theme park. Last year we talked about that, and this is the time of the year that a lot of our theme parks, Disney, Six Flags Great America, Knott's Berry Farm, or even if you have local theme parks that I don't even know about that's in your city, they usually have homeschool days. And these are days that they just basically, okay, this is for homeschool families only. Other people come into the park, but if you're a homeschool family, you'll probably get this group discounts. All kind of discounts and different things to be there, okay? It's a time that you just go and you have fun. Not a lot of speaking, not a lot of event, you know, like booths and stuff, but it's a time for you and your family to go out and have a good time on a vacation and meet other homeschool families. You don't know who you're going to meet. You might meet some other Afrocentric homeschoolers, and you might want to network and exchange telephone numbers, address, email, Facebook pages, whatever you need to do in order to be a part of that. So these are just things that I'm letting you know that that happened, that are happening, that will happen, that you can be a part of. I know it was a very scary thing when I first decided to homeschool my children. I was confident that this is something that I wanted to do, that I needed to do, but I could not find any information. And like I said before, when I called locally, I called the private schools, they wanted me to be a part of their homeschool program, which was going to cost me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars, which I didn't have. And I'm like, all I want to do is homeschool my children. So I went online. I went to the library, and I looked at the law library, and I looked at what the law was as far as education and homeschooling. I looked up all that, and then my library had a file cabinet where you could go in and pull out a folder that said private school homeschooling. So I was able to go through all those articles and stuff and read, print out some of that stuff so I could know exactly what I needed to do. And then when I heard about a homeschool convention one morning, I was up, it was a Friday morning, I was up getting ready just for my day. I already got the kids off to school, and I'm at home just taking it easy. So I call, I was getting out of the shower, and I heard a homeschool convention, Bakersfield, California. I'm like, what? Ran there, trying to hear, but I was at the last end of the commercial on the radio. So I called the radio station, and sometimes you got to do that. Call the radio station, find a... You just had a commercial talking about homeschool convention in Bakersfield. Can you give me some more information on that? So they gave me a number to call, and I called the number and sat, and it was $5 to attend that conference. There was another parent that wanted to homeschool. I said, we got to go. So we went. They had no money. We had our $5, and we had gas in the car to go down to Bakersfield and back up, and we came back with a lot of information, and all I could do was just cry because this is what I needed. And I had promised, I said, that if I run across anybody who wants to know about homeschooling their children, I will be that resource for them. I will not be secret. We cannot be secret without stuff toward each other. Now, there's some crazy of us out there that, you know, you just can't even deal with. I understand that. Not everybody is for us that looks like us. But those that you know that are genuinely excited and want to know, those are the ones that you need to really be a part of. And share your information with them. So basically what we're going to do is, so that's one of the things that I want to do. Okay, so the homeschool phase in the theme park. Okay, I want to talk to you about one other thing because I only have 15 minutes left, and I, like I said, this is a live caller show, and I'm wanting you to call in. If you want to call in, you can, but I want to continue to talk. So I'm looking at... some of the things that I'm going to be doing in our community. I just wrote a grant. People are calling me to write grants. I mean, they're saying, we have money for your organization. There's something that I won't touch with a 10-foot pole because I understand that when you write grants, sometimes they want to regulate what you do and how you do it. And they want too much information. I'm like, too much information, no thank you, moving right along. But one of the things that I do want to see us do more in our communities and our villages, the working villages that are working, is to work with our young men. Back in, let's see what year this was, March 4th, tomorrow, it'll be a year. Tomorrow will be a year that our President Obama put out, actually, it was February 27th. My bad. I posted it on. I printed it out on March 4th. President Obama put out a My Brother's Keeper a program, and I'm just finding out that in our small communities in certain areas that people are actually getting the money for this. And then when you looked at it, it looked like it was just going to go to different communities. They were going to go. Put out in African-American and Latino communities. But I'm finding it that a lot of our communities in our area are getting this money. But I also know that when things come out like this, when we look and we read and we study what the program is, and we know what our community looks like and what our community needs, and when we go online and we pull up those demographics and find out what our graduation rate is among African Americans, among Hispanic, white, Asian, Native Americans, we can look at this and see what it is that is needed in our community. So this, my brother's keeper, is a new White House initiative to empower boys and young men of color. So it's about empowering boys. So I'm going to also post this on my Facebook page. So I got a list of things that I'm going to post. And I want you to be able to read it and understand it and know that this is what we need to do. There's an organization that I went online as I was researching today. And I'm going to go ahead and join it. It's called Urban Intellectuals Media Activists. So it says become a UI member now. So I'm going to go on, and that's my whole thing, is try to join as many organizations as I can get, so I can get the information that I need so I can share with you what's going on in other communities so you could possibly say, oh, wait a minute, I can do that. So this is what they posted on last year, April 2nd. And a lot of the stuff you get is old, but it's relevant to what we're doing today. It says challenge. All successful African Americans should make it their duty to encourage the next generation. Okay? And so basically what they're saying that, you know, you're successful, you made it through your area, you made it through the ghettos, okay? And the ghettos is no more than just a place where a group of people of the same ethnicity live together, and it's usually substandard housing. Okay, that's what a ghetto. The word ghetto is first started. The first ghetto was in Italy, so let's not get it twisted. People are not ghetto. Areas are ghetto. Okay, a ghetto is a place where we live. They have moved from the ghetto to the black community, and they moved to the suburbs. So these are some of the people that have come through. You've been successful. You moved. You were very athletic in your school. You got college scholarships. You built relationships, you landed good jobs. Some of you have built, have worked hard to build your businesses from nothing, and you created the life that you always desired. Now we're asking you, this organization is asking you, please come together and go back into your community and mentor some of these young people. Do something for these young people. And if you don't know how to do it, get a couple of you together, pull your heads together, say, how can we make this work? And I'm telling you, at my last youth conference, our last youth conference, we had a lot of young men at that conference, which was great. And we have a gentleman in our Fresno area. He was awesome. We videotaped his workshop, and I'm telling you, it was off the chain, okay? Cedric Hardiman, I want to thank you. Love out to you and to yours, because you are one of the men that I really respect. And no matter where we are, you're always going to be there to help out. Okay? So basically, we need to be able to do this. Now, this is a gentleman named... they call him Brother Jeff, and he has worked with a successful group of black men who are working together in the Denver community to do this, to work with our young people. Okay, so that's where we're at right now. So we have people that are actually working in the community, trying to do stuff with our communities, and so I'm just asking that. We take the challenge up. And if you know some people who take the challenge up, pull them together, okay? If you have in your community an NAACP like we had in our community, it wasn't doing a whole lot in our community for our young people. I'm asking you to find out where they have their next membership meeting. Now, at the membership meeting, you don't have to be a member to go, but you can go. and you raise your hand and raise your question about what their vision is for the youth in the community, especially if they're not a visible organ, they're not a visible unit. You need to find out what it is that they're doing. And if you need to join for $30 a year, do that. So you can have a voice and you could run for office and you could say, this is what we're going to do in our community, okay? We're going to make some changes. Because a lot of the changes that we need to be made, when you're in organizations like this and people recognize the organizations, it's easy to get some things done. It really is. Sad to say, but that's just the way of the world. So I just want to leave you with some of those things that I talked about that I will be putting on the Facebook page, the Education of the Miseducated System. I'll be putting the Urban Intellectual. I'll be putting on My Brother's Keeper. I'll be putting on the Atlanta Voice, that article. I'll be putting on the Common Core video. Also, I'll be doing the homeschool homeschool days, and then homeschool. What is it that I had here? The homeschool convention. So those are some of the things that I'll be putting on the show on my Facebook page. And I want to thank you once again for posting some things to me. Like I said, this is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System, and I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you again. And I'm going to go back to my page here to see where I'm at. Okay. One thing I do want to let you know that I don't want to tolerate any craziness, so please don't send me no craziness unless you want me to comment on your craziness. Okay. We have a lot of people posting things on our page, and we have a lot of things with our young people, like a 10-year-old math genius, and this is all on my Facebook page, the Education of the Miseducated System. And when we see things like this, let's comment on it. Let's get some positive information out to our young people, because they're doing great things. They're achieving, and just whatever we're led to say to them in a positive way, that when they're done with what they're doing, or while they're doing what they're doing, they also encourage other young black children. Okay. Because what will happen is that the man will see this stuff here, and they'll try to exploit our children. And we don't want our children to be exploited, because exploited children sometimes mess up and they'll take their lives. They won't know what to do. Okay. All right. But we do want to know that, I do want to let you know that I do have, somebody did post, and our children of color, our black children, our brown brothers and sisters, and then you have those people who are don't look like us. I'm looking on this page right now, and sometimes there's punishments, and I just want to read this to you before I go out. Somebody, Fox and Friends photo. It was posted by Kenya Jones. Thank you, Kenya. And it was, it says, Fox and Friends. It says, does this punishment fit the crime? 6-year-old Hunter Camilo was 1 minute late to school because his mother's car would not start. So his principal forced him to eat lunch alone behind a cardboard divider. Do you think the school went too far? Heck yes. Can you believe that? Oh, my God. You know what? They better be glad Big Dot is not alive. When Big Dot would be up to that school and everybody had to be swinging. I'm serious. That happened to my brother. He had to eat his lunch outside the classroom. And this was a sister teacher that did that. I'm like, ooh. When my mama came up there, she was trying to run from her and climb up the steps to get to the principal's office. My mama pulled her down and wore her butt out. You don't do that to our children. You don't do it to anybody's child. Green, white, yellow, purple, whatever, okay? You just don't do that. So I'm asking that you be a part of the education of the miseducated system. Keep posting, keep sharing, keep reaching out to your community, and I will see you on next Tuesday at the Education of the Miseducated System. You have a good evening.
Just move on.
Dynasty Radio, 1382.